The second lesson today is from Exodus, chapter 16, verses 1 through 21. Listen again to God's word. The people have come into the wilderness and need to be fed. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger." And the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard your complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer to a person, according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents.' The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who had gathered much had nothing over, and those who had gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over until morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed. But when the sun grew hot, it melted." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In retrospect, I probably should have titled this sermon "Unrecognized Blessings," but if you haven't noticed by now, my sermon titles often have very little to do with the content of my sermons. In fact, sometimes it's completely different. I've never really been good at coming up with sermon titles, and for a while I just gave up on it entirely. Avis and I have an understanding. If I don't give her a title by Thursday, she doesn't put one in the bulletin. But if I'd been on my game this week, I would have titled this sermon Unrecognized Blessings. Because here in the wilderness, the complaints of the Israelites still ringing in his ears, God decides to bless his people, his chosen people, in the most ordinary yet tangible way imaginable. He feeds them. Now the Israelites, they've only just escaped slavery in Egypt, if you forgot where we've picked up here in the book of Exodus. They've only just escaped their slavery in Egypt. They've only just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They've only just witnessed the entire Egyptian army, soldiers and chariot drivers and chariots and horses and all those other things that go along with the Egyptian army. They've been destroyed, and the Israelites have seen this. They've watched them drown in the rushing waters of the Red Sea. And the songs of praise for their deliverance, their songs of praise to God for their deliverance are still on their lips when the murmuring begins. And soon it becomes a full-throated complaint. If only we had died by the hand of the Lord back in Egypt. When we sat by the flesh pots and we ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out here in this wilderness, Moses. You have brought us out here to kill this whole assembly with hunger. What could you be thinking doing this to us, Moses? I love how the Israelites often sound like hungry, moody kids right on the edge of a meltdown in a restaurant waiting for their food to arrive. What's taking so long? I am going to starve to death if dinner doesn't get here soon. Oh, how quickly we forget. It's only been a month and a half since the Israelites left Egypt, and already they're looking back through rose-colored glasses. Oh, sure, we were slaves in Egypt, but it wasn't so bad. Yeah, you know, that Pharaoh, he was a pretty mean guy, and he whipped and beat and killed a lot of us, but, you know, at least we had enough food to eat. How quickly we forget. But like any good parent, God has come prepared, sort of like animal crackers in the glove box. Contrary to what the Israelites think, God has not brought them, his chosen people, out of slavery, out into the wilderness, only to starve them to death. God tells Moses the plan, an amazing plan that will sustain the people of Israel for 40 years. Every morning, manna, bread, will appear on the ground, a fine flaky substance. It tastes like wafers and honey, we're told. And it can be made into loaves of bread. And then in the evening, God will send quails to cover the camp. Bread and meat, not perhaps the most exciting menu, but enough to sustain God's people for 40 years. So Moses and Aaron explain this plan to the Israelites. They give them all the important details, and the first night everything goes as planned. At twilight, the quails start to appear, and the people are able to catch them and prepare them for their dinner. But then in the morning, something strange happens. The dew is burned off by the bright morning sun, and the people look out from their tent flaps and they see this fine, flaky substance on the ground. It looks almost like frost. And when the Israelites see it, they look at one another and they say, "What is it? What is it?" Moses comes up and says to them, "It's bread. It's the bread the Lord has given you to eat." I love that question. What is it? It's a great question. It's a question we probably don't ask often enough these days. Children are awfully often very inquisitive. What is it? They ask. But by the time you grow up a little bit, you kind of stop asking that question. But maybe we should ask it more. What is it? What is this fine substance covering the ground? Turns out that fine flaky substance is God's way of blessing his people. They're hungry. They need bread. So God gives them bread. It's an unexpected, unrecognized blessing. How often do we look at a blessing from God and ask, what is it? How often do we see a blessing and not recognize it as a blessing? How often do we receive a blessing, but it's not at all what we expected? There are times in our lives when we don't or can't see a blessing for what it really, truly is. It looks strange or dangerous or unexpected, and we just can't quite wrap our heads around it. Kind of like the Israelites who wake up and poke their heads out of their tent flaps and look at the ground covered with bread and ask, what is it? Sometimes blessings require a bit of a different perspective. Sometimes we need some help to see them for what they really are. The Israelites have Moses and Aaron to explain what the manna is. It's bread. Tastes good, you should eat it. Yeah, but Moses, it looks funny and it's on the ground. I mean, what about the 5-second rule? It doesn't look like anything we've ever eaten before, not like anything we ever had back in Egypt. And you told us we would have quail in the evening and bread in the morning, and this just doesn't look like bread. So what's going on? But with a little prodding from Moses and Aaron, they finally figure it out. The manna is bread, good bread, and it will sustain them. God's people, you see, they needed a different perspective on their blessings in order to recognize them as blessings. Sometimes we need to see our blessings with a bit of a different perspective in order to see what they really are. What happens if you're expecting a loaf of Wonder Bread, but you get manna instead? It might seem like a real letdown or a real let up. It might seem like God is ignoring your needs. But then somebody walks by and says, it's bread, it tastes good. You should eat it. If you stop and think about it, you've probably all had someone in your life like Moses who has helped you see a blessing for what it really is. Maybe it was your parents or a teacher or a complete stranger. Maybe it was someone you've known your whole life or someone you only just met. But they helped you see things a little differently, in a new light. Sometimes blessings are big and easy to see. But sometimes they're hiding right there in plain sight, like manna all over the ground. However God blesses us, we can be assured that it is exactly the right way. God gives us exactly what we need. That doesn't mean we get everything we want, and that can be a bit of a problem for some of us. There's a temptation to see God's blessing as getting everything we want, and if we don't get everything we want, well, then maybe God hasn't blessed us. We tend to think the more we get, the more blessed we are. I've always been more than a bit uncomfortable with thinking that our excesses are God's blessings. As if God chooses to bless us with fancier cars and beach houses and longer vacations while other people simply struggle to get by. An overabundance is just that. Think about the Israelites, gathering manna, for instance, if you struggle with that. Moses tells each of them to go out and to gather an omer of manna each morning. Now, I looked it up. An omer is about 2.5 quarts. That'll help you put it in a little perspective. And as the Israelites are out every morning gathering manna, some of them gather a lot more than an omer, a lot more than 2.5 quarts. And some of them gather a lot less. But when everyone comes back to the camp, and when they all get together and measure their manna, they find that those who gathered much had nothing over. They still had an omer. And those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. I've often wondered how the Israelites reacted to this. Were the ones who gathered a lot of manna, were they surprised? Were they upset or angry when they figured out that they only actually had one omer? Did they somehow feel cheated for all their hard work? Did they think that gathering excess manna somehow meant that they were better than everyone else, or at least better than the ones who gathered less? There's a temptation for us to think that the more we have, the more God has blessed us. But if you've ever spent time with people who don't have very much, you discover that the less you have, the easier it is to see your blessings. Sometimes I think all this extra stuff that we have crowding our garages and closets and rented storage units keeps us from seeing how God really blesses us. Andrew White is an Anglican priest, and he used to serve at St. George's Church in Baghdad, Iraq. He served there all during the Second Iraq War. He wrote a Christmas message a few years ago that has stuck with me. He writes about some visitors who had come to Baghdad to see what the daily life was like there, especially for Christians. Canon White writes, "They were so surprised by how happy the thousands of people were in our congregation. How can you be so happy when you are surrounded by suicide bombs and mortar rockets and so much violence?" one of the visitors asked. There was a long silence. And finally, one of our young people answered the statement. "You see, when you've lost everything, Jesus is all you've got left. And when Jesus is all you have left, you quickly discover that he is enough." God has blessed us, even if that can be hard to see or hear or understand, or if we want more. God has blessed us, and it is most clearly seen and heard and understood in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is God's primary blessing sent to the world, sent because he is God's Son, sent by the Father who loves us, sent not to condemn us, but to save us. So who are we to question how God blesses and who God blesses? Jesus tells this wonderful parable in Matthew's gospel about a landowner who goes out early in the morning to hire some men to work in his vineyard one day. And they agree on a wage and they get to work. And the landowner goes out again at 9 and noon and 3 and 5, and each time he finds men just standing around in the marketplace, idle, looking for work. And each time he sends them to his vineyards, telling them that he will pay them whatever is right at the end of the day. At the end of the day, the landowner and his manager gather the workers together. They line up as he begins to hand out paychecks. And those who started the last at 5, they receive the usual daily wage, but only for a couple hours of work. And the workers who started at 3 and at noon and at 9, they get the same amount, the usual daily wage. So the workers who started early in the morning, just as the sun was coming up, they are excited. They think that they're going to get a lot more money, maybe double the usual daily wage, since they have worked so many more hours than all these other men. But then they receive their paycheck, and it is for the exact same amount, the usual daily wage. And so they question the landowner, grumbling about how unfair they have been treated. And the landowner reminds them that you agreed to work for the usual daily wage. We shook on it this morning. As for those other workers, I chose to give them the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? The landowner asks. Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Talk about unexpected blessings. Those laborers hired at the end of the day, they certainly weren't expecting to receive that much money. And maybe that's why we struggle to comprehend God's blessings. We're not expecting that much. We're not expecting God to take on human flesh and come live among us. We're not expecting God to teach us a new, different way to live. We're not expecting God to go to the cross and die for us. And we're certainly not expecting the tomb to be empty. But it is. And Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit is at work, and we are being called to this table today to receive a blessing from God. God calls us to this table, whether we've believed for a day or a week or a month or a lifetime. God calls us to come to this table, to come and to discover are all too often unrecognized blessings. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and minds to comprehend the blessings you have bestowed on us. Help us to see them, to know them, to understand them, that we may be your faithful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.